We love Wesley. Wesley's got a word from the Lord for us. And Wesley, you preach to us and lead us, brother. All right?
All right. Praise the Lord. How y'all doing? Y'all doing all right? Yeah, no, I made that mistake too, the garbage. I mean, it wasn't the garbage can thing, but I remember I was in the children's ministry at the last church I was in before this. I was probably fourth grade. And we were putting together a children's band. And when we say children's band, it was like two kids and then like the children's pastor singing. So it's not really a children's band. It was like, let's humor these kids who say they can play some instruments. And I'd been playing drums for about a year at that time. But I got up there and I would always say, yeah, I mean, I'll be on a stage if I'm behind a drum set. If I'm back in the back behind a drum set. But I'm never going to get behind a microphone. Not going to happen. Not me. Oh, yeah. I said fourth grade. 10 years old. And God was like, okay. Yeah, okay. We'll see. We'll see. I bet y'all are kind of thrown off because I'm wearing a t-shirt to church. Because I never do. I'm normally wearing like a flannel or something. Well, it's not cold, so not really cold. But I went to a youth retreat this past. A church asked me to play piano and sing and help lead in the band at their youth band for their youth retreat. They put together something and they asked me to help out. So I did, and I got the opportunity to worship on stage and help lead other youths. And when I say youths, I'm not talking about y'all who like feel young. Y'all are youths. Just it's a little different. Just a little different. But I got to help lead, and it was Righting Wrongs. The shirt says Right Wrong. Not sure why, but it's called Righting Wrongs Youth Retreat 2017. It was led by a guy named Algernon Tennyson. And I got to help lead worship there, and that was so awesome. And I really got to experience worship for what it is. I mean, it's so easy to, whenever you're up here playing. I haven't been in a congregation listening to worship in so long. I wasn't able to this weekend either because I was helping. But it's so easy whenever you're up there playing to just get lost in the technicalities. I mean, I'm using all my limbs up there. You know, I mean, I'm using both my feet, both my hands up there, and trying to sing over it, which, you know. And it's hard. It's hard to really get to worship in that. But I was able to find that this weekend and to re-encounter it. And it's awesome. And we sing songs like we sang today, What a Beautiful Name It Is, What a Wonderful Name It Is, What a Powerful Name It Is. And it is that. It's a powerful name. And that's kind of what I'm touching on today. I'm touching on the power of words. Let's see if we can get... Look at that. The power of words. I made that myself. Yeah. With the help of PowerPoint. No. It's really... No, I just sat at a computer at school. In my office. That's really all I did. But the power of words, because he's a powerful God, and like his words in the beginning were not seemingly true until it happened. Let's see if I can get my notes settled here. Wasn't really thinking about that, was I? So his words were even powerful at the beginning. So I want to start there. I want to start at creation. Let's see if I can look at that. God's word is true. There are two things that we need to know when it comes to the power of words. There are two things. One is that God's word is true. There's power in his words. And the second thing is that we're created in his image. We're like him. So that's two things we need to know about the power of words, and I'll get more into it. I know y'all are probably a little lost right now. We're getting there. God's word is true. There's power in his words. God, in the beginning, Genesis 1:3 said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, if I walked outside, my mom likes to use this comparison. If I walked outside and said, the sky is purple, not only would all of y'all look at me like I was crazy, but it would definitely be a lie, because the sky is not purple, right? But if God goes, let the sky be purple, the sky would just turn purple. Let there be light. And there was. And there was light. And it was good. And then there's another verse. The next verse is Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. That's awesome. God's word is alive. God's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's consistent. I'm so thankful for that, because I am not consistent. Raise your hand if you're not a moody person. What, none of y'all? Moody person. If you're not moody. You know, some days you wake up and you're like, I'm not feeling it today. I'm just not feeling it. There are many of those days in the school year. Yeah. I could talk about that for a while. I'm not going to, though. But God's consistent. He's the same yesterday as he is today. So the power that he had when he said, let there be light, is the same power that he has right now. God could, like I said earlier, God could say the sky is purple right now, or tomorrow, or the next day, and it would be purple. His word is alive. It's powerful. Now, the next point was is we're created in his image. And there's power in our words as well. Okay, this is where it starts getting interesting. Because obviously, like I said earlier, if I said the sky was purple, I'd be a liar. I would. That would not be true. So I'm not going to do that, because I don't want to make a fool of myself. But in Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So he's given us power here. He's saying, you're in my image. You look like me. You're a little me. The early Christian, Christ, little Christ, like you say. Little Christ, this is the early Christian. We have power. Okay, we have power over the world and worldly things. And that could be as simple as saying no to somebody, or yes, for that matter. We have power in our words. And then I'm going to get into this next verse. I know I'm moving kind of quickly. It's because I want to get to this verse, because this is my favorite one. And I'm going to spend some time on this verse. The rest of this is going to be based around that. This next verse, John 14:12-13, I guess I should say verses. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Because I'm going to the Father, and I'll do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Wow. Jesus is saying we're going to do greater things than he did. Now hang on a second. This does not mean that we're better than Jesus by any means. I will always fall short of that. Look, y'all are awesome people, okay? Y'all are great. I'm not just saying that. Especially y'all in the back. Yeah. It's okay if you're scared. But I wouldn't hang on a cross for y'all. Let alone put my son on it. I don't have one, thank God. But I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. But because I will always fall short of the power of God, the glory that God deserves. I will always fall short of that. I couldn't do that for y'all, but he did it for y'all. So whenever we see this, and it says we will do even greater things than he did, what does that mean? I really think that that just means that Jesus is in us, right? We accept Jesus in our hearts, and he's in us. He's moving in us. Didn't you say if I walked to the youth, they would like cheer me on? Okay. So Jesus is in us. And okay. Jesus is y'all are clapping, y'all aren't youth. No, but Jesus is in us. I think that when it says we'll do greater things, it's the fact that there are billions of people on this planet. If we have Jesus in us, there's a whole lot more of Jesus going on. There's a whole lot more than just one person doing these things, and that's greater. That's so great. That's a goal to strive towards. And so this is kind of off, but I challenge y'all to live your lives thinking, live your life like you're standing at the cross. You'll never be greater than what Jesus did for you, but with him inside you, you can do great things just like he did. That's powerful. That's so powerful. So there's power in us. We're created in his image. He has power. And now he's in us. That's power. That's power. It's in me. Now, this isn't always good, and I'll get into that later. Good things aren't always easy, I should say. And God works in mysterious ways. So God's in us, and God's going to move us. We can't be like, God, I want to do this. How can I do it for you? We need to be like, God, what can I do for you? Not, I'm going to do this. Use me in it. It's, God, give me something. Give me something that I can do for you. It's the difference between fitting God in your plan and fitting your plan in God. Okay. I know I don't have notes for y'all, but if y'all want to write that down. That was good, because I definitely won't remember that. So, but we have to do what he says. He works in mysterious ways. We have to do what he says so we can better our lives and the lives around us. It's power, right? We have power in us, and there are people who don't know about this power all over the world. All over the world. There are people who don't know about this power, and that is so ridiculous to me there. So, you know, in my generation, I looked up this statistic, if I can say the word. I looked up this statistic. In my generation, less than 4% of the people in my generation will follow Jesus. If I can bump that up to exactly 4%, and I can get people around me to bump that up to exactly 4%, that would be awesome. That would make it, you know? And we can do that because we have power. I'm using that word a lot, power. We have it, okay? I'm using it because it's there, right? It's real, it's active. God's word is active and alive, and so is our power that he's given us, right? So what does this mean? How do we apply this? How do we apply this power, this power in our words specifically? We were saying earlier, there's the powerful name of Jesus Christ. If you just pray in his name, he'll do whatever we ask. And now when I say that, there's a catch in the verse. It's the second part, the last clause. So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I'll do whatever you ask me to if the Father's glorified. There's always, God like to, he likes to throw in those ifs. Yeah, right. I don't like ifs. I don't like them. I wish you would just do whatever I ask, because, you know. Well, I won't talk about, you know, what I would ask for. I'll just think about it. But so that he may be glorified. We're up here, we're singing praise and worship, and y'all are singing down here and stuff, and we're all singing up to God. We're all praising him so that he gets glory. But the thing is, every day I wake up, y'all wake up, and we're not singing. We're not giving God glory that he deserves in our everyday thing. Now, I guess I shouldn't speak for y'all. But if I know that less than 4% of my generation, I can only imagine it's not everybody. You wake up and it's the fact that we're living right now, and to live is Christ. We have to give him glory, okay? We have to give him glory until we die. And when we die is gain. We're going to glory. And until I go to glory, I'm going to give him that. That's the fact of the matter, because he's given us that opportunity. He's given us the opportunity to have a relationship with the very being that created us. That's so powerful. And he said, go around the world. Go around the world and minister. Minister. Let people know. I mean, less than 4%, that is so, so minuscule. It's disappointing, is what it is. But there's a difference between disappointment and discouragement. If you want to write that down, you can. There's a difference between disappointment and discouragement. There is. I can get disappointed and just as easily get discouraged. Let's say, I don't know, I want to use one of the youth. Oh, yeah, Donovan. Yeah, Donovan. Let's say that I wasn't up here preaching. Okay, let's say that Donovan was up here preaching. Donovan, you want to come up here? You sure? I mean, you can if you want. You don't want to? I'm not going to make you do anything. Let's say he gets up here and he preaches. I know he would never do this. He would never do this. Let's just say he starts choking up, sits down, and then church is over. We don't have church that day. Now, I know he wouldn't do that. He would never do that. If he got up here, he would just be as confident as anything and just, you know, give the message. And that's what he's going to do next fifth Sunday. Right? Right? Well, he said he doesn't know. It sounds like a yes to me. We would be disappointed if we didn't have church. I am. I look forward to I love church. Church is awesome. I look forward to this all week. I look forward to it so much that I have to, like, get on my phone and watch other churches on my phone so that I can, like, you know, get amped up for this message and this service. It's awesome. But if we didn't have it and we didn't have that thing to look forward to, that's disappointing, and it would be so easy to get discouraged. But disappointment doesn't mean discouragement. Disappointment means you need to drive forward. You need to initiate more. You need to be encouraged rather than discouraged. Disappointment means you need to push to do it better next time. So Donovan, next fifth Sunday, if you choke up, no, I meant when. We'll be disappointed, but we're going to encourage you, okay? Right? Right. Okay. So I guess I'll get off of that spiel. I'm starting to sound like Pastor Keith. Oh, man. I didn't mean it, Pastor. I take it back. Yeah. Next week, y'all are going to hear about hell. But what does this mean for our everyday lives? What does this power mean for our everyday lives? It means that we can give God glory with the power that he gave us, because he deserves it, because he gave us the power. He gave us the power. So we need to, the least we can do is give him glory through it. It's the least we can do. So let's apply it. Physical growth. Now this is, I'm getting into personal ways you can apply this, okay? Don't, like, start going up to people and say, you need to get taller. Thanks. I didn't just say that to Bree because she was short, but I also said it to Bree because she was short. Th- physical growth. Let's say you got an infirmity. Let's say you got an illness. You're not doing well. Let's say even an addiction. Something that you battle hourly. Not even just daily. An hourly struggle. This could be anything. This could be coffee. John, where is he? Is he in here? Oh, wait, no, not coffee. Creamer is what I meant. Yeah. It's okay if you don't drink black coffee. I just called you out in front of the whole church, and now you will. I'm just messing with you, John. But let's say we battle these things. A lot of us do. I'd be willing to bet that everyone in here has battled something in their life. I'd be willing to bet that. And I don't have any money. So I'd have to win that one. But we have power in this. We have power in the midst of our illness, in the midst of our storm, we have power that God gave us. We have power to overcome it instead of let it overcome us. It's amazing how I can be sick. Let's say I'm sick. I'm not, but let's say I am, just for this instance. I can just wake up and be like, you know, I'm not sick today. Now you would say I'm lying. I would say I'm speaking against it. I would say I'm not owning the sickness. I'm not owning the lie that the devil gives me. The devil's a liar, y'all. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's evil. And he wants you to think that there's stuff wrong with you. He wants you to think that you're stuck in an addiction. He wants you to think that this illness is going to be the death of you, and it's not. Because God gave us power to say, you know what, I'm not addicted to this. I can overcome this. This is not me. This is the devil, and I am of God, and I'm going to give him glory through it. Let's say I'm sick. I'll wake up, say I'm not sick. All my friends will call me a liar. Really not my friends. But they might be. They're just looking out for me. But they probably think I'm going crazy, if we're being honest. But what do y'all mean? Why are y'all saying that? I know y'all aren't thinking it. Right?
Right.
Okay. But we can speak against it. God's given us the power to say, I'm not of that. I am of God. And the illness is definitely not. Where God is, wellness is. I like to tell my friends whenever they're sick, they'll be sick and I'll be like, let's hang out. And they'll be like, no, I'm sick, I'm contagious. And I was like, no, my wellness is contagious. My wellness is contagious. You're not gonna stay sick because I'm well and you're gonna get some of that. Right. Our next thing off of physical growth is spiritual growth. If you're using this power, if you're speaking God's life into yourself, into other people, if you're doing this, you're hearing God. God's moving through you. Obviously, he's moving through you because you're speaking his word. You're speaking with the power that he gave you in the first place. And so you're building that relationship. You're building a spiritual relationship, right? You're furthering that relationship. Is that a word, furthering? Sounds like a word. Okay. I don't know why I just doubted that, but don't like name me for my doubts or anything. That wasn't for me. But spiritual growth, because we have power. We have power in God's word. He gave us his words so that we can use them and do great things, greater things, due to the quantity. There's so much Jesus in this room right now. And man, that's great. I don't even know how y'all are sitting. I know how I'm not sitting. It's because I don't have a chair behind me. But spiritual, God gave us power. God gave us power so that we can use it and so we can get closer to him. so that we can love like he loves and be loved by him, so that we can give him glory through it. If some of my friends are giving me, you know, they're edifying me, they're glorifying me, while I may not deserve it, I'm going to like them a whole lot when they're talking me up, right? God wants to hear it. He wants you to go and make disciples. You know, he wants you to go and spread his word, and he wants you to speak with power. He gave it to you. Why are you not going to use it? It's like the parable of the gifts. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. You know, if God gave me something like that, and he has, but if God gave me something like that, I'd want to use it to its fullest extent. And even then I'll fall short. Even then I'll fall short. But because I'm using what he gave me, let me give you an analogy. It's like a Christmas present. Have y'all seen the video of the kid who opens a Christmas present and it's like an avocado? He's like, the kid's like six and it's an avocado and he's like opening it and it's like the fakest excitement you've ever seen in your life. And you're just, thanks, it's an avocado. It's like, wow, I get to use this all the time. I'm six, I can throw this at my brother. Wow, that's great. No, he was not excited because of that. He was excited because his family was standing around, the people who wrapped that avocado. It was ridiculous. But God gives us gifts that we can use, right? He gives us gifts, and if we use them and he sees us using them, it's like if somebody gives you a shirt for Christmas and you wear it around them, oh man, that makes them feel great. It does. It makes them feel awesome. We have to glorify God. He is so deserving. He's so deserving of that. So he's given us power. We need to use it, okay? And that's what's going to bond you to the Father. That's what's going to connect y'all, right? That's what's going to build relationships, okay? That's spiritual growth. And in that, attitudes change. In that spiritual growth, attitudes change. You'll realize that Maybe you do wake up and you have off days. Maybe you are moody in the midst of God's consistency. And maybe you have off days. But if you're spending so much time around God who is so consistent, you don't want to be moody. You don't want to. At this youth retreat that I went to, the guy who was preaching, Algernon Tennyson, he's huge around, he lives in Atlanta, so he knows all the people at Passion City Church, and he's a big guy, you know, literally a big guy too. He's like 6'7" and like 300 something pounds. He's a big guy, right? He was the most joyful person I have ever been around in my life. He was so happy about everything. And we were not doing things that were always happy. We did some mission stuff down at a local ministry, and we had to follow a guy in a trailer to go pick up a freezer to bring back to this ministry, right? And we're following this guy, and we're thinking it's going to be like a couple blocks away from this ministry. We're in downtown Gulfport, and next thing you know, we're up 49, and we're in Socher. And I'm by no means a country boy, okay? No means. So I'm fearful for my life because I've seen more than three trees on one street. Okay? I'm actually afraid right now because I don't know what's behind these trees. Okay? Like, this is a scary situation. And he's just sitting there like, wow, I thought it was going to be closer. This guy's from Atlanta. It's not like he's used to the country, right? He lives in Atlanta, like in the middle of Atlanta, you know? And he's just like, yeah, thought it'd be closer. Where are we going? Like, well, we're in Socher, right? You should be afraid. And he's like, of what? Nobody's hurting me. What? Well, yeah, but someone could. He's like, so? That doesn't mean they will. That doesn't mean something's happening to me. He was the most joyful person ever. And it's because he spends time. I mean, he's preaching right now at the same church. I didn't go to that because I had prior commitments, I think. But this afternoon he's leaving to go preach in He's going to preach in Baton Rouge. Does this still work? There we go. Cool. Push me back a little bit. Maybe it was telling me to go back. Spend some more time on physical growth. But he spends so much time preaching, and in God's word, he goes around the country preaching, and he's in Baton Rouge, and the next week, and he's coming to Jackson, where he's leading, he's leading a youth retreat. I mean, the one I went to is like maybe 40 kids, right? He's leading a youth retreat of 1,100 youth, and the worship is led by Christian Stanfill and Christy Knuckles. Yeah, no, he hasn't preached a retreat under 800 kids in 15 years. And I got to sit in the car with him and talk to him. It's pretty cool. I know. I'm kind of bragging. It's a little off, but yeah, I know you wish you could, but it's... Oh, no, I was scared, because I was scared. I'm in the... Look, he's a big guy. Look, I've never met him in my life. He's 6'8", or I don't know how tall I said. 6'6", probably not 6'8". That's tall. 6'6", 300 pounds. We're in the middle of the woods. Are you serious? I am, yeah, I mean, I trust the guy until he, you know, does something shady, you know, just a little thing, you know, if he, like, starts looking like this, then maybe I should start, you know, being a little worried. But he was the most joyful person I've ever been around. It was so, it made me want to be joyful all the time. And I'm actually challenging myself, and I challenge y'all to also, to in everything that I'm doing this week, I'm doing an experiment. I'm trying to be joyful in everything. Oh man, that's gonna be hard. It's gonna be hard because I like being bitter sometimes. I really do. But I was around him and he was so joyful and it made me want to be joyful, and the things that were going on that were so stressful weren't stressful anymore. I didn't have to worry because I had joy. You see, because if we have faith in God, if we're not stressing, let's say we're doing what we're supposed to do, we're having faith in God, joy is of faith. Joy is of faith, okay? We believe in God who is, I'm assuming God is constantly joyful. That doesn't mean he doesn't get disappointed. It just means that he's driven through it, right? And then that joy, if I'm faithful, the joy comes back, right? It's a circle. It's a circle. You give faith, you get joy. You give faith, you get joy. So I'm spending this week being faithful, and in turn being joyful. And that's an attitude change that you get out of spiritual growth. And you do that with power. Being faithful is not something that just happens. You don't wake up and you're like, well, I'm faithful. It doesn't work like that. You got to have some dominion over your life, because all of a sudden you have to stop worrying. How many of y'all worry constantly, it feels like? It's okay to raise your hand. Mine's raised because I'm actually telling the truth right now. I like to worry, okay? I'm used to it. It's a crutch. It is. It's a disability, if you will. It's a debilitator. But because I'm going to push myself to be faithful, because I'm going to push myself to be faithful, to be joyful, I don't have to anymore. In situations like being on a street with more than three trees, being in Sosher, Mississippi, the scariest place of them all. If any of y'all live there, I'm talking to you. Yeah. I was going to apologize, but there's really nothing to apologize about. I'm kidding, y'all. But I'm sitting here, and Al's not worried a bit. He's happy. And we ended up we were safe, obviously. We're good. He's preaching right now, and we got the freezer. We brought it back to the mission, to the ministry. I know y'all were wondering how the story ended. We got it back. It was all good. We were safe. Nothing happened. And it turns out I didn't have to worry at all. So why did I? Well, I wasn't having faith that everything was going to be okay. I have the power to be faithful. I have the power to speak things being okay. Isn't that crazy? I could go up there and be like, you know what? This is not safe at all. But there's no weapon formed against me that shall be able to prosper. So I'm going to speak that. Nothing can hurt me. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I'm a child of God. Nothing can hurt me. God's given us power. And it furthers our spiritual relationships. It exalts our attitudes. It furthers us as people. And it's going to change everything around you. Okay, let's get on to the next thing because I've been talking a whole lot. Okay, so this is the most underwhelming one. And I obviously don't know anything about it. Is this the part where I tag in somebody? One of y'all back there, I can tag. No, I'm kidding. I've got written in my notes here, financial growth, and under it, it just says monetary needs. So it shows y'all how prepared I am for this. I honestly only heard the fact that I need to put this in the message and not anything about it. Just the fact that I needed to talk about it. Okay, so that's what I'm going to do. Okay, financial growth. If you speak life in every situation of your life, then maybe it'll prosper. Now, when I say speak life, I don't mean like, God, give me money. I'll give you glory if you do it, you know? Like, I'll give you glory if you give me money. Like, no, it's, he doesn't buy the glory. You just give it to him. Yeah. But the thing is, if you speak life into it, and then you just go back and start worrying again, what changed? Not your heart. That's for sure. You didn't change your heart. That's where the change starts. Heart rhymes with start. You can remember that. It starts with changing your heart. Any of y'all who are writing notes, this would be your third point. Changing your heart is the start. There we go. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, no, please write that down. One of my family members, write that down also, because I'm not going to remember that. I want to use that later. Yeah, that's good. I'm telling y'all, I'm not prepared for this, for the financial thing and the financial growth. But if you speak life into it, if you water your plants, they grow. If you speak life into your finances, God says they'll grow. I'm just standing up here and being a messenger because I don't know anything about it. So just take my word for it. No, take God's word for it. He says that when things are looking down, start looking up. Speak life, and you'll prosper because of it. Financially, spiritually, physically, I mean, emotionally, mentally, speak life into yourself, into your personal life, and maybe you'll get that. Speak life into the situations in your life, because look, once you're saved, you're a dead man, okay? There's no going back. You're dead, you know? To live is Christ, to die is gain. It's funny, Paul. They tried to kill Paul, and he was like, "Okay, kill me. I'm already dead. Have fun trying to kill me again." You know, I think it's funny that we say we're born again. I guess in a way we are, but I think we just died. You know, we got off of we instead of living our lives, we decided to live God's life because it was His in the first place. But we were born into sin, and that just steals it from Him. And there's not one thing more I hate. I hate stealing. I hate it. Especially from God's people. And the devil does that, and I hate that. I do. But if you speak life into situations, you'll prosper. It will grow if you water it. Okay? Changing the heart is the start. Changing the heart is the start. Changing the heart is the start. Am I thinking out loud? None of this should be translated to saying, I can say whatever I want and it'll happen. We have power in our words. We can say what we want whenever we want. That's true. But if we're trying to give God glory and we're trying to speak life into situations, I just can't say whatever I want and it'll happen, okay? I have power, but not that kind of power. That's like some God stuff. It's not the same, okay? Let's see. I got a water up here, don't I? Can you open that? Thanks. I only got one hand. Can't open it with one hand. Not that good. I have to use four limbs to play drums. Not even good enough to use one. Excuse me. I can't say whatever I want and it'll happen. Okay. I can say whatever I want, yeah. I could say I'm 7 feet tall. It's not going to happen. Ever. Both of my parents are 5'5". I'm a miracle. Okay. I'm like pushing five. I'm like close to 5'10". I'm like, right. I just tell people I'm 5'10". That's what I do. Because it makes me feel good because my parents are short. Y'all can sit down if you want. But, no, I'm kidding. I'm just messing. I love y'all. I'm just messing with you. Don't look at them, y'all. They're embarrassed. Don't. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I'll do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If our intent is to give God glory, He has no problem doing something for us, right? And I like whenever people say, like, don't pray for sneakers, you know, like, well, what if sneakers give God glory in a certain situation? It's all completely situational, okay? Donovan, don't go pray for sneakers. It's different for you. You really can't. But the thing is, if our intention is to glorify the very being who made us, who created us for a relationship, if we're trying to have a relationship with Him, if we're trying to glorify Him, we're trying to bring Him up, He has no problem doing the same with us. Exalt God, He'll do it to you. Don't do it for exaltation. Do it because He's worthy. Because He is. He's so awesome. Just walk outside. Whenever I was in Sochaux looking at all those trees, fearing for my life, imagining the worst things that could have happened to me. I wasn't even in a tree. I was afraid of falling out of one. But I should have been looking at it like, man, God made this. This is so awesome. I serve such a great God. Such a powerful God. I do. We do. And why should I be afraid then? Why shouldn't I be faithful then? With that perspective. Right? What excuse do I have? I might fall out of the tree. I might fall out of the tree. It's not a scary thing when you think about it. It's the fact that God made the tree, and He's telling you how to not fall out of it. We have power in our words, and because He gave us power from His words, and that's evidently powerful. Let's see, what do I have after this? That's it. Okay, so that's it for the PowerPoint, but I'm not done. Okay, I know y'all got super excited just now. You're like, oh, yes, He's done. I'm not. I'm not done. So just sit back. What can I ask of God for Him to still receive glory? This is the tricky part, okay? I guess I don't need to stand here anymore if I don't have all that. What can I ask of God for Him to still receive glory through it? What can I ask of Him with the intention of glory? Like I said earlier, it's situational. Yeah. But let's ask Him a vague question. And when I tell you to ask this, don't just get real eager to ask it, because it's not an easy thing at all. At all. It's not an easy thing. We can ask of God. We can say, God, use me. Oh, man. I know some of y'all just got scared because now you got to get used by him, you know, if you're really listening to me. If you want to be happy physically and spiritually, if you want to be joyful in all those things, even in your finances, I know that's not a joyful thing. How could you be joyful in your finances? I have no idea. I'm 18 years old. God, use me. Would you use me, God? And that's why it's a mistake to say, no, I'm never going to get behind a microphone on a stage. I'm never going to do any of that. That's why it's a mistake to say that, because I'm asking God to use me, and I'm telling him, use me everywhere but here. And he's like, okay, I'm going to use you there. Because I want all of you. I gave you all of me. I gave you my son on a cross. The least you can do is sacrifice the one area of your life you're not willing to. You think I wanted to give my son? Right. No. She's catching on. She's listening. Y'all need to start speaking up. Wait, hang on. Woo, yeah, okay. I gotta start doing that whenever I'm walking everywhere. Just start doing it after. Okay, change the heart is the start. Change the heart is. I'm kidding. Man, I get too happy about that kind of stuff. We ask God to use us, and then he actually does. Then he does use us. He's using us in ways that we didn't intend for. I don't want to preach. Look, y'all, I don't want to be a preacher. I really don't. God wants me to. He does. I think that's what he's telling me. No, it's fine. Hold the applause till the end. Wait till the curtains close. He uses us whenever we ask him to. That's the hard part. It's a great thing. It's a greater thing if you want to, you know, I mean, refer back to that verse. It's a great thing. But it's so hard because he uses us. Like, I don't want to preach. I don't know where to start with preaching. I mean, I have to go to people all the time for help on these kind of things. I don't do this on my own. I use PowerPoint. But he uses us in ways that we don't expect, and it's hard. It's not an easy thing. Good things aren't easy. Write it down. None of y'all's pencils are moving. Someone write it down. Just look down. Make it look like you're writing something. There we go. All right. Sweet. He uses us, and it's not easy at all. It's awesome. It's great. I'm going to drop this so much more. I'm just going to put it right there. It's hard for God to use us. Okay? But letting God work through you and continue to be the miracle worker that he is, to let him do the greater things that he did before, to let him do that is an act by faith, an act of faith by every definition, and it's not easy. It's not. But if we can sacrifice that, it's the least I can do. My mom told me a story the other day, actually, I don't know, maybe half a week ago. It was a story out of Experiencing God, that book. And there was a young pastor, and he was taking a pay cut going to another church. He felt like God was leading him to another church, and he was going to take a pay cut if he went. And the person who was at the church was like, we can't ask you to come. We can't ask you to come and take a pay cut for that. And he told him, don't deny me of the opportunity to sacrifice. Don't deny me of the opportunity to sacrifice something like money for a God who sacrificed everything. Don't deny me of that. I at that point I want to do it. Hearing those kind of things, I wanna preach. I don't wanna every worldly part of me does not want to do this, y'all. But because God's asked me to, it's the least I can do. And I'm joyful doing it. I mean, up here, I mean, I feel good about it. When I do it, doesn't mean I want to. And it doesn't make us wrong for us to ask. Because it's hard, that doesn't make it wrong. One thing I see very often, I guess, in my generation is that something gets hard, so we think it's wrong, and we stop. Somebody gives us some hard work, and we're like, no, that would be wrong for me to do. I'm better than that. That's an easy thing for us to do in our generation. So Donovan, I have some yard work in my house. It's not the wrong thing to do. I just said that for you. But no, I'm kidding. But God is asking us to do things that are hard because he wants to see if we'll persevere through it, if we'll do it for the God who created us. He wants to see if we will do something hard for God who has done something so, so amazing, so difficult. How many of y'all could give up your kid? If you have your hand raised, just put it down. Quit embarrassing yourself. Because you're lying. I don't know. I don't have a kid. I had a dog once. once. Yeah, we're not going to talk about it, though. But to do that for God is, he's worthy, y'all. He is. He's so awesome. He's worthy. I want to read a story for y'all. I'm going to wrap it up after this. I promise we're getting close to being done. I know y'all are excited. This is a book I've been reading. And I say I've been reading, I read part, quite a bit of it. And then school started back. And so I haven't been able to get to it as much. That's an excuse. I should be able to get to it as much. But, I want to read a part out of it. It's called All In by Mark Batterson. This is not a sponsor, but it is a, if you want to go buy it, it's an awesome book. It was actually, last time I preached, I should say last time I got up here and talked to y'all, my next door neighbor watched it on Facebook and gave me this book. And gave me a letter and stuff, and I'll never forget that because it touched me. It showed me that somebody was hearing what I was saying. It's like the Christmas analogy from earlier. It's when someone gives you a shirt and you wear it. It just makes them feel awesome. So after last time I preached, and somebody said they heard it and gave me a gift out of it. That it really touched me. But All In, Mark Batterson. I'm gonna read the story now instead of talk. A century ago, a band of brave souls became known as one-way missionaries. They purchased single tickets to the mission field without the return half. And instead of suitcases, they packed their few earthly belongings into coffins. As they sailed out of port, they waved goodbye to everyone they loved, everything they knew. They knew they'd never return home. A.W. Milne was one of those missionaries. He set sail for the new, excuse my pronunciation, Hebrides. I probably should have looked that up before I got up here. Wasn't thinking about it. In the South Pacific, knowing full well that the headhunters who lived there had martyred every missionary before him. The dudes go in there knowing they're like, yeah, they're going to kill me. But to die is gain. I'm already dead. They can have fun doing it. It's nothing I haven't felt before. I've picked up that cross. That's what he's saying. I've picked up that cross. Let's see, I lost my place. I started talking again. Where am I? Oh, look at that. It even talks about that. Milne did not fear for his life because he had already died to himself. His coffin was packed. For 35 years, he lived among the tribe and loved them. When he died, tribe members members buried him in the middle of their village and inscribed this epitaph on his tombstone. When he came, there was no light, but when he left, there was no darkness. And then the author goes on to say, when did we start believing that God wants to send us to safe places to do easy things? That faithfulness is holding the fort, that playing it safe is safe, that there is any greater privilege than sacrifice, that radical is anything but normal. Jesus didn't die to keep us safe. He died to make us dangerous. Faithfulness is not holding the fort. It's storming the gates of hell. The will of God is not an insurance plan. It's a daring plan. The complete surrender of your life to the cause of Christ isn't radical. It's normal. It's time to quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. Well, I'm just going to live my life and walk to death all safely. No, I'm going to have some fun and sacrifice a little bit for God. It's time to go all in and all out for the all in all. Pack your coffin. Wow. Pack your coffin. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. It's an admirable thing. All in, Mark Batterson, again, if you want to get that. God's asking us to move for him. He's given us power to do it. He's enabled that. He's enabled us to go out and do awesome things, to do greater things for his glory. He's so deserving. He made me so I could have a relationship with him. It's the least I could do to give that. It makes me want to do more. So God, use me. God, use me. I know it's not going to be easy. But use me anyways. Y'all can stand on your feet. Go ahead and pray.